Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising my children out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, breakdown of faith, family, and freedom. Dave Buhner, also another homeschool dad, hanging on to some of these values. He's across the table from me. He lives about 20 miles south of me, makes the journey up here once or twice a week in order for us to get some of these programs out to other homeschooling moms and dads, parents who care about the future of their children and grandchildren, and are saying, hey, there's something wrong with the ways the schools are working. There's something wrong with the way our present social systems are working. And a society that doesn't fear God probably is not going in the right direction. And we better give our children a different paideia or education, because if we build an education on something besides the words of Christ and the laws of God, that is the laws of Christ, then we are going to wind up being the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And when the rains came, eventually those huge socioeconomic systems come crashing down. So we better build our systems, our lives, on the Word of God, and teach our children to do these things, as Jesus said in that parable of the wise man and the foolish man. So it is important for us to choose the right form of education. Personally, I believe that the reason things are coming apart at the seams is because there is a battle going on in the area of education of the hearts and the souls of children. And because some will not engage the battle, and because some will support the other side in the battle, Christians are losing. We're just big fat losers, and we're probably going to lose most of our children, as the Southern Baptists say. 88% of kids who attend public schools raised in Christian homes are walking away from the faith. And why is that? Because they've got the wrong paideia, because they are being raised in the wrong form of teaching, exhortation, nurture. They are not being nurtured as God intends for us to be nurturing them in the nurture of the Lord, which is primarily brought out in the Word of God. The book of Proverbs is really God's book on the education of a child, and that's why I've done my 800 pages of work on family Bible study guides in the book of Proverbs, which I highly recommend to anybody who wants to grab that. But today we want to talk a little bit about the education of children. If you have children, then give them a good education. Give them a good education. It's important. Give them a good education. And parents ought to take a vital interest in this. And Dave, you have done intro seminars about this. I have crisscrossed the country. You've been all around the state here and in other states as well, talking about the importance of a Christian education. Education is very, very important.
Well, it's not just me. The Bible talks about the importance of a Christian education. We get God's law presented to us, and it's bookended with the idea that parents are going to teach this to their children. In fact, we're told that parents should teach this to their children always. We have the very poetic language. When you rise up, the first thing in the morning, when you lie down, last thing at night, when you walk along the road, as you're driving along the road with your children, as you're having conversations, that law of God is forever on your lips. We call this a Christian education. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon goes through all the different things that have tempted him, including wisdom. And he said that, you know, the wisdom, you can chase after it, but in the end, it's just chasing after the wind. But there was one thing that was the whole duty of man. There was one thing that met its purpose, and it wasn't just getting smart. It was learning to fear God and to keep his commandments. That's the essence of the life of the believer. That's the essence, then, of what Christian education ought to be, teaching children to fear God and to keep his commandments.
And David, it was supposed to be a frontlet between their eyes. That is, God wanted his word right there as an ever-present reality, hanging in front of a child. And I know that sometimes the Jews would actually do that. They would hang a little piece of the word of God right in front of them. But the idea was that God wanted that God's reality, God's presence, to be an ever-present reality for our children, so that they didn't go to Sunday school on a Sunday and then they forgot all about that God stuff on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and took off their secular geography, their secular history, their secular literature, et cetera, et cetera. And they pretended like God was a non-factor. In truth, God is a non-factor in the metaphysical reality of origins, of creation, of science, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the way they live their life for 6 days, and then they get to go to Sunday school on Sunday. Dave, as you know, that's the way to find kids apostatizing from the faith. That's the way you teach your kids that God is not all that important. That's the way you make sure that your kids will go to hell. That's the way you make sure it happens. You teach them that there's a dualism in life, that there's a little piece of God over here, but then for most of your life, you pretend like God's a non-factor. Okay, that's how you prepare your children to go to hell. That's how you prepare your children to abandon the faith. And that's why, of course, America has been abandoning the faith for a long period of time. In an upcoming program, we're going to talk about the nations most likely to apostatize, the highest apostasy rates in the world right now. And America is way up there, not as quite as high as Switzerland and a few other nations, but America is extremely high, and that's because of the public schools. It's because Christian parents aren't serious about their faith. Christian parents don't care. Christian parents don't really want their faith to integrate into their lives or their children's lives anyway. And so that's why all these kids are going to apostatize by the year 2025, 2035, unless somebody gets a vision who happens to listen to this radio program or some other program or comes to a homeschooling conference and gets a little jiggle on the cage and wakes up and realizes, wow, education is important. Wow, I need to be giving my children some decent curriculum. Well, in just a moment, we want to talk about curriculum for the 2012-2013 school year. Some of my recommendations coming up on this edition of Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Dave Buhner also here.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Dave Buhner, also in studio. A couple of homeschooling fathers. And Dave, it is important, I think, for dads, homeschooling dads, to get as involved, at least in the choice of the curriculum, as the homeschooling moms. And I think that applies to Christian schools or wherever your children are attending school or taking up some kind of curriculum, or wherever there's some delegation occurring. I think dads need to be vitally interested in the sort of material that is being used in the home school. And so if they go to conferences, I think dad and mom ought to be there. They ought to look through some of the materials out there. Here's some of the recommendations, friends, that I would offer you as you consider the education of your children. And Dave, I think one of the things that I like is to teach our children God's Word. I recommend Rod and Staff quite a bit. Christian Liberty has some good materials for teaching some very, very basic things, basic reading, etc. But I like to teach my children the Bible stories first and foremost, because they're number one in the grammar stage. And if they're in the grammar stage, they ought to learn the stories. And in a Christian world, the stories are biblical stories. These ought to be the stories that frame our children's minds and hearts more than Dick and Jane or Alice and Jerry, even. I know that there are readers out there. I know there aren't cute little stories written by a lot of folks, but if your children don't know the Bible stories and they haven't been studying them and they don't have any decent reading comprehension going in the area of the Bible stories, then, hey, is the Bible all that important to you? Give your children the Bible stories. Make sure they understand.
And Kevin, that even begins before the reading stage. Little children, before they can even read, love to be read to. They just love you to read stories to them. Well, find a good story Bible. And when I say a good story Bible, don't get one with cute little fuzzy pictures and five words per page. Get one that actually tells the stories, one that's accurate, that tells the right biblical details, that goes through all the Old Testament stories. Now, not all. There's certain things that are not going to be appropriate for a three-year-old. The Bible is very frank. There's a little story about a Benjamite that's probably not appropriate for children. But find a good story Bible. Start reading to them from a very young age, and their desire will be to learn to read the Bible on their own.
Yes, I agree so much. And Dave, I think to comprehend the Bible is important. We put together our Bible study guides for the entire family. One of the things I recommend, Dave, is that you bring the whole family together for a good part of the education of your children. And don't worry about sometimes talking above the heads of some of your younger kids. You read the King James Version Bible to children from the time they're 5 or 6 years of age. By the time they're 12 or 13, they'll have a high school or actually a college level comprehension because they've been read to for a long, long, long time. And they're not just working at a very, as you said, a very, very low standard vocabulary. You know, you're actually working to bring them up to a higher standard over a period of time. So don't be afraid of doing that. Of course, you have to explain the stories to them. That's why I put together the family Bible study guides, so that you could explain it. So there is some explanation. So there are some application questions and content questions for each chapter of the Bible. And I recommend that you really go deep in the book of Genesis, the book of Matthew, Psalms, and Proverbs. Those are my first four in terms of priority. Now, you could pick another gospel if you wanted, but I just picked Matthew because it's the first gospel. And by the way, Dave, in the next 2 weeks, we'll have Gospel Matthew out for the first time in the Bible study guide format. We're using J.C. Ryle's commentary, expository thoughts on the gospel, slightly abridged, but not very abridged. And that will be available in about 2 weeks. It is, by the way, all these study guides, all of our curriculum is on sale for 25% off for the next number of weeks. So that's all accessible at our website, kevinswanson.com. Again, Matthew is coming out. You can order Matthew right now. If you've got Psalms and Proverbs and Genesis, Matthew is coming out next. And by the way, it's very important that you give your children the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Very important. And one of those Gospels is the book of Matthew. Make sure they know the Gospels. I've made Genesis a priority. I presented Genesis a priority. I think Proverbs is a priority. I think Psalms is a priority because Psalms really deals with the warp and the woof of the Christian life, the emotions, the struggles, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, it is God's book of worship, which is very, very important to teach your children to worship. So Psalms is important. Proverbs is important. Matthew is important. And Genesis is important. And then after that, I'd say do some distance, too. You know, we talk about going for depth, going for distance. When it comes to reading the Word and studying the Word, I recommend both, Dave, depth and distance.
Absolutely. And, Kevin, one of the problems that we can make as parents is we can make school and curriculum separate from the rest of life. We'll go back to Deuteronomy 6.
Right.
As we rise up, as we lie down, as we walk along the road. This is all the time. So there's times when dad's going to sit down and he's going to open the Bible and he's going to do family worship. Very important. Don't neglect that. And that's where the study guides
and
are
is,
so helpful.
That is an education, too.
That is education.
You, that's not education. That's education.
That is education. Yeah. And if you're in Colorado, call that contact hours if you need to have contact
hours. Sure, sure.
Because, there's contact there. And it's contact with the Word of God, which is our main source of curriculum. But also recognize that your children are going to be watching and listening to things while you're at work and you're gone. They're gonna want to have some time, some entertainment time. We've used some Bible stories that are in like a radio show format, and they're the Bible stories. And my kids have eaten these up, and there's hundreds of hours of radio style format. So this has been part of their entertainment. You know, they're being entertained. They're sitting there listening to these stories, which I think is a little better than TV because it's more like reading. And it's in a very entertaining format, and it's very accurate, and they're getting an education, and we didn't even have to call it school. So we have that. And then we go to the family worship, and we're having more school. And the kids are learning to read, and they're learning to sound out their words so they can read the Bible. Now, that feels a little bit more like school because it's a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all school. It's all teaching them the fear of God and to keep His commandments. And then you're absolutely right, Kevin. We got to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is, you know, part of what their whole life is about.
Yeah.
You know, we teach them the law of God. They understand their need for Christ and the need for the gospel. And then we teach them that the fulfillment of the gospel in order that they might live their life as those who are children of the gospel.
Mm. Very good. Well, friends, a couple of curriculum choices on this edition of Generations. People ask me for my recommendations all the time, and wanted to share some of the my recommendations with you. I believe we ought to teach our children what the Bible says about various things, and that's what I would say would be a biblical worldview. You have to take the Word of God and apply it to the world around you and to the culture around you. So your children, don't just see the Word of God as some useless, irrelevant thing that just sort of pie in the sky, by and by, maybe I get saved and go to heaven, but that's about it. We want to also help our children to see the relevant use of the Word of God to equip the man of God for every good work. That's what it's for, therefore, according to Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So I would recommend biblical worldview curriculum for your children as part of their reading and literature and civics, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why we put together a What Does the Bible Say About That? A biblical worldview curriculum for kids 9 to 12 years of age. And it might be up to 13, 14, but generally 9, 10, 11 years of age. would be about right for our little workbook called What Does the Bible Say About That? It's a very fun little curriculum. And he says, what my little 11-year-old daughter has told me, and I told her to tell me that. So that's, you know, a firm endorsement from Abigail.
Abby endorsed this.
Yeah.
Daddy, I endorsed this. Great.
Great. Thank you so much for endorsing it, honey. But anyway, friends, it's a very simple. It's the only simple introduction to biblical worldview for 9, 10, 11-year-olds that I believe exists out there. Now, I would also recommend to you Apologia's worldview curriculum they've come out with, and it's a little more advanced than ours. Ours is a little more of the 14-point font with the crossword puzzles and the fun little word searches. Theirs is a little more advanced. It's hardback. You pay a little more for it, but it's some good stuff. And I'd say it's good for about 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age, probably up to about 15 or 16, but good stuff. I think it's a 2-3-part series, if I'm not mistaken. Apologia, again, is the folks who have come out with it. They've worked with Summit Ministries, the Worldview Ministry down here in Colorado Springs, and they have put together a very nice little worldview package for young folks 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age. And I would recommend that to you. In fact, Davis Carman, the guy who publishes, wrote to me when I set out, what does the Bible say about that? He says, does this compete with me? And I said, no, it doesn't compete with you, because we have put ours out for the younger kids, and yours is perfect for the older kids. And I told him I hardly recommend his product to others as well. So, again, friends, encourage you to get Apologia Worldview curriculum for the older kids. If you've got younger children, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age, you might go with What Does the Bible Say About That, our little worldview curriculum. Now, Dave, thoughts?
Here's the thought. It's been said that worldviews are not taught so much as they're caught, like measles. You don't really know how you get them. You just end up with one. And that's why it's so significant that we start right away teaching our children the worldview, or the view, God's view of the world. If we wait until they're 13 years old because we think they're intellectually ready, they've already adopted a foreign worldview. So we need to get that in front of them early, which is why something for, you know, the 12-point font with the crossword puzzles and the word searches is appropriate that we start systematizing how we start teaching it to them. Hopefully, we're teaching them a biblical worldview from the day they can hear, which is in the womb, but we need to start systematizing that, because there are other worldviews constantly bombarding them, whether it be the billboards on the sign of the side of the road, or whether it be the commercials during the Olympics, or television, or the movies they're watching, or the music they happen to hear, or you have Rush Limbaugh on the radio, you're going somewhere. They're catching a worldview. You got to give them the right worldview, because there's wrong worldviews hitting them constantly.
All right, folks, let's talk a little bit about literature. As you get into the later years, you want to give your children good, solid literature. Again, begin with the Word of God. My recommendation is that you give your children godly Christian literature next. That is, find the best teachers, find the best Christian authors, people who believe in the Trinitarian God, people who have committed their lives to serving Jesus and his kingdom. You pick those guys over the pagan, the transcendentalists, the Greeks, the Romans, the humanists, the Unitarians. You have got to pick. You have got to choose Christian authors, Christian teachers, because every good author, every great author is a teacher of some sort. And when you give your children the good, strong literature, you give them these men as the teachers. You set them at their feet. So give them the best Christian authors first. And that's why we put together our Christian classics study guides available at our website, kevinswanson.com. And again, the reason why we did this is because I needed something for my own children, didn't see stuff out there like this. So I said, you know, I'm tired of giving my children all these materials written by either, you know, the old Greeks and the humanists, or the apostates, the modern apostates, who are kowtowing to the classical Greeks of the previous age. And I really wanted committed Christians. And I found there were some committed Christians in the history of the world that have actually written some things. And so I put together our Christian classic study guides for that. I have a junior level and a senior level. The junior level for probably roughly 9th, 10th grade, and the senior level for more like 11th, 12th grade. And we are soon coming out with another literature/philosophy curriculum that deals more in the antithesis, and that's coming out in a couple of months. It's going to be extensive, the most extensive project we've ever done. It'll be a four-color hardback textbook, 400 or 500 pages. The CD-ROM will contain about 900 pages. It will be a full curriculum for those who want to study the quote-unquote classics in the modern humanist age between roughly 1600 and the present day. And we're going to look at philosophy, literature, and culture. So we're going to put all those three things together so our kids will understand what we call the conflict of worldviews. In fact, this literature curriculum is called Worldviews in Conflict, a study of philosophy, literature, and culture of the West in the last 400 years for the high school students. So that's coming out in just a couple of 2-3 months, so stay tuned for that. But Dave, at the same time, we're bringing out some of this stuff. I think people should be aware there is other curriculum out there as well. People have asked me about the Omnibus put out by Doug Wilson up in Moscow, Idaho. And you know, we have taken a look at this, and there were some things I like about the Omnibus. One of the things I like is there are critical biblical questions that are presented to the reader. There are some worldview questions throughout where they're challenged to look up certain verses and compare certain of the pagan authors to these other things. But what I really recommend, my recommendation generally, is to give them the Christians first. And then eventually they hopefully are equipped in their 18, 19 years of age or whatever at the point at which they are really ready. I mean, really ready. And this depends on the students. Some students aren't ready until they're 19. Some aren't ready until they're 25 or 28. Some will never be ready because that's not really what God calls them to. But if they're called to the intellectual conflict, make sure that they have got the Christian authors down really, really, really well. They should know, I mean, really philosophers, Christian philosophers like Cornelius Van Til down very, 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 very well. They should know John Calvin, Augustine, very, 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 very well before they even venture into some of this other stuff. Now, that's my recommendation. The other thing, the other caution about books like the Omnibus, Dave, is there's just, I mean, I was sort of surprised. I just saw it for the first time a week or two ago. Just about every other page, naked men and women. I mean, more naked men and women than you'll find in a Playboy magazine in the Omnibus. And I understand that's a classical thing, and anthropologically speaking, the anthropology of the Greeks was such that they were enamored by the human body, but they didn't understand the shame of the human body and thought that man was perfectible, and but what we're saying is man ought to be humble enough to put clothes on and acknowledge that he's still in sin, he has a sin problem, he's got a shame problem, and ought to be wearing the clothes. So that's, again, an anthropological difference between a Christian anthropology and a humanist anthropology. And I'm not sure your average kid might pick that up very easily if he's looking at nude pictures almost every other page in, say, the Omnibus.
And that's a point of conflict between a biblical worldview and a foreign worldview right now. The Olympics happened to be on this last couple of weeks, and if you've caught a little bit here or there, you will notice that they are going closer and closer to complete nudity as much as they can. It was certainly skin tight and a celebration of the human body. Well, the biblical worldview says that there's a problem with your flesh, and that flesh is sin, and you need covering. And that covering is the righteousness of Christ, and our clothes typify that and cover our shame, cover our sin in the righteousness of Christ. That's part of a biblical worldview. So that's right now a point where there's conflict between a classical Greek view, a humanist view, and a biblical view. And Kevin, you said something very important there, and I don't want to go over it too quickly. Not everybody is called to the higher intellectual pursuits.
Yeah.
You may have a son who is very skilled in mechanical things. Perhaps he's going to become a plumber or a builder. He's not really interested in going to liberal arts to the point of reading Cornelius Van Til. In fact, very few people want to read Cornelius Van Til because he's difficult to read. But that does not mean that your son is any less of a worker in the kingdom of Christ.
It's not his calling.
It's not his calling. His calling is to take dominion over perhaps building or plumbing.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing. That's our biblical worldview says you take dominion, you're fulfilling God's law.
Mm-hmm.
God requires you. Now, some are going to be engaged in the battle of ideas professionally. I think that though your son, who is perhaps called to a dominion art or dominion task like plumbing, still needs to be able to engage the battle. We are to be able to give an answer to every man for the hope that is within us. And we can do that, even for somebody who's not called there, with correct literature selection and with a correct curriculum selection. Now, let's say you have a son who's going to become an engineer, a mechanical engineer. I have a son who's headed that way. Doesn't really like literature. Not really his thing. Give him math problems. Give him things to solve. That's his thing. But, you know, he can think his way very well through presuppositional apologetics. He can think his way very clearly if he'll take the time to extract the ideas from Augustine and present them, or Schaeffer, or Lewis, or Bunyan. And that's, I think, that every Christian parent needs to work to take their child in their calling to a place where they are not going to become captive of the world, and yet, whatever their calling is, they're able to take down the strongholds of the world.
Okay, friends, still we need to get through some of this other stuff. Science. Dave, let's just touch on science briefly. I like what Apologia has done. I recommend Apologia and Davis Carman's ministry there, where he's getting all that stuff. Jay Weil wrote a lot of those early Apologia textbooks, and we've used them ourselves. Also, Richard Lawrence has put out a number of science books. They actually sell them through Answers in Genesis. Richard Lawrence is on our board, actually, for Christian Home Educators of Colorado. And the Lawrences have done a wonderful job. I think it's Debbie and Richard Lawrence have put together our R&D science, I think what they call it, Richard and Debbie science. And they put together some wonderful little workbooks for young folks. And really, I think they're intended for more junior high level. Not quite the senior high that you get from Apologia, but more the junior high, more of the 6th grade, 7th, 8th grade level of science. Highly recommended. Highly recommended. R&D science produced through Answers in Genesis. Really recommend some of those resources.
Yeah, when we talk about science, what we're really talking about is glorifying God, worshiping Him for His creation. That's first. And second is being able to take that science and use it for a dominion task, engineering and math, that sort of thing. So we're looking for things that give us worship and things that propel us to dominion. And both of those curriculum really help in that regard.
Okay, just a few other ideas here, friends. When it comes to civics or history, I really like some of the stuff Gary DeMar's done with God and Government. Rush Dooney has a pretty decent American history series of tapes, which gives a very probably unique perspective, but a fairly balanced perspective as well as to the development of statism in America over the last 200 years. I mean, it really gives you a good picture of what happened, some of the early development of Christian thought in American history, and so forth and so on. So some of those history tapes are, I think, very, very helpful. They've also got some stuff on world history. Chalcedon has put some things out that have been very good. We've listened to some of those ourselves as family. Also, don't forget church history. Church history, sketches in church history is something we offer on our website as well. Now, a lot of this curriculum available on our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. I recommend that you give your children church history. In fact, I want to do a special church history curriculum. Not exactly, 100% happy with sketches in church history, but it's one of the very best that's out there right now. And Dave, I think we could do some things for homeschoolers that would be even better. In fact, I spent about an hour with Josh this morning talking about a great idea for pulling together some of the best church history curriculum the world has ever known, so we're very excited about some things we're doing there. But there are some things going on there as well. Give your children biographies. Make sure they're reading the great biographies. Trial and Triumph is a nice book for young children. I'm thinking more like 9, 10, 12, 14 years of age. Just short vignettes about great Christian men and women in history and some of the great things they did for Christ. Let me move on to a few other things. Mike Ferris has a good constitutional literacy course that could be very, very helpful. I highly recommend that our children understand the Constitution of the United States. It was a wonderful shot at some of the best government and some of the best balance of powers the world has known. And Mike Ferris has a great constitutional literacy course there, too. Also, here's a couple other things. For math, we like Math UC, but Saxon Math is good as well. What do you guys use for math?
We use Video Text Interactive. It's been hugely successful for us because each lesson is maybe 5 minutes long. It's very conceptual. If the children get mastery of that five-minute piece, it's just the next little tiny atomistic piece of the math, then they move on, and they can go at their own pace. It's not repetitious. The video lessons are very well done, but it's allowed, my 16-year-old and my 14-year-old both to be ready for calculus this next fall. In fact, my 14-year-old will be 15-year-old. We have to dual enroll them in college so they get credit.
Right,
and
right.
That's how successful Video Text Interactive has been for us.
Good. Fantastic. Okay, friends, one other thing. People ask about languages sometimes from us. We have taught our children Greek using, Hey, Andrew, Teach Me Some Greek curriculum. I know they advertise with the HSLD, a court report. A really, really simple, easy way to learn Greek, but it takes a while. I mean, if you get into, hey, Andrew, teaching some Greek, that's probably a good 5-6 years of Greek study for your children. So it'll take a while for them to work through that curriculum. Here's another one we've been using recently, and this for older children, Greek in 30 minutes a day. It's a little $18 book you can get on Amazon, but Dave, it is so easy, and it just introduces you in some of the best ways to speaking Greek and to reading it. So Greek in 30 minutes a day, great little thing available on the web there. Also for Hebrew, we've got a little curriculum that we use, basic Hebrew grammar, but it includes references to fairy tales and such written in biblical Hebrew. So it's a really easy, neat way to introduce Hebrew to young folks or older folks who are just trying to learn Hebrew for the first time. Okay, a couple other things. Catechisms and confessions. I recommend that folks give their children a basic Christian theology through a catechism or confession study guide. And there are different, I know, catechisms and questions and confessions out there for different groups, but the Heidelberg Confession or Catechism, Williamson, G.I. Williamson's put together something like that. I gave that to my son and to my daughters. Westminster Confessions and Catechisms have been had the study guides through G.I. Williamson again, and we've used those as well. Kevin DeYoung, I understand, has done a new study guide on the Heidelberg Catechism as well. So, again, there are some nice little study guides for some of these basic historical confessions that could be very, very, very helpful to your children in rooting and grounding them in the doctrines of the Word of God.
And, Kevin, that's an important point here, is that you can start catechizing your child even before they can read. There is a small child's catechism, very simple, very easy answers. You start that on. I would recommend whatever church you belong to, whatever their standard is, that's the catechism you learn.
Sure.
So, you know, if you happen to be in a Lutheran church, use the Lutheran catechism. If you happen to be in a Westminster confession type church, use the Westminster catechism. If you're three forms of unity, use the Heidelberg catechism, but learn a catechism. And I'd add one more thing to your list here, and that is King's Meadow Humanities Curriculum by George Grant. Outstanding. It's a moral philosophy, history, government. It's a whole humanities thing. These are excellent resources. Put the very best in front of your children. Get the very best out of them.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, today, just going over the 2012-2013 school year, and I'm guessing some of you are already out there buying your curriculum and getting ready for the next school year for your children. Again, choose the curriculum that honors Christ, that fears God, that's rooted in a biblical worldview. Be sure you do that first and foremost. And friends, if you'd like to check out the curriculum that we offer on our website, and it's right now 25% off, available right now at kevinswanson.com.
No, one quarter off?
One quarter off, yeah, just for a couple of weeks here. We decided to put it one quarter because we thought that people out there need to buy some curriculum, and some of them need a break, and so it's available there at our website, kevinswanson.com. So go today to our website, do a little shopping around. If you're needing a certain kind of curriculum, you don't know where to find it, feel free to email me at host@kevinswanson.com, and we'll do the best to help you there. Again, our website is kevinswanson.com. My email is host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.